Federal contractors have been coping with a flood of new regulations and executive orders affecting them, their supply chains, and their employees. In general, new rules don't apply to existing contracts, but they can affect solicitations that you might have in the pipeline. Joining me with more, Terry O'Connor, Director of Government Contracts at the law firm Baron Zweig Leonard. And Terry, there are so many, I guess people are wondering, what does it do to things in the pipeline? So what's the answer to that question?
Well, I think the first point to make is we always tend to hear about new laws, and we, you know, because it's in the media. What's interesting, though, for example, is it took 6 years for Congress to pass rules on some small businesses, new regulations that weren't turned into actual regulations until basically this past July 14th. So that's almost 6 years to do these kinds of regulations. So I guess the first thing I tell clients is just because you hear something in the news, that doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to affect what you are currently doing in your current contract. Deal's a deal with the government. So the government is going to stick to its deal. It does take a while for these new regulations.
Now, what about work that's in the pipeline? If you have a solicitation, could the terms change of what they're asking for?
It is possible that if a contracting officer does make the regulations circulated in the solicitation and the award occurs after the new regulations take effect, that works. The issue is that the government has to give contractors the warning that they're going to be subject to these new rules. So it is possible for these rules to be applicable to new contracts as long as the government has given notice of them and as long as the contract is signed after the rules become effective.
Now, if there is a proposed rule or a law that, as you say, could take years between enactment and actually translation into regulation, the government does have the right to change terms and conditions as it goes, but it usually doesn't. Is that fair to say?
Well, it's hard to use it. For example, the changes clause that is typical for all government contracts. You can't use the changes clause to change the terms and conditions of a contract because the changes clause, by its own wording, says that there are only a few things that you can change, and then it's got to be within the scope of the contract as well. So, for example, you can change where the products are going to be delivered. It doesn't, the FAR changes clause in your contract doesn't say that the government can change anything that it wants to change. Now, the hard issue is, that's the legal point. As a business, as a practical business, get along with a contracting officer kind of approach. If a contracting officer asks a contractor, would you change these provisions and allow us to add this new language into the contract, it's hard for a contractor trying to maintain good relations with the government and with the customer to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm standing on ceremony. The law doesn't become effective. And, I think as a practical matter, as a business decision, contractors might want to accept with consideration the changes of these new regulations before their effective date, before they have to accept them.
We're speaking with Terry O'Connor, Director of Government Contracts at the law firm Baron Zweig Leonard. What about, say, something like minimum wage, could you go ahead and implement that, or could the government implement that on a contract that's existing where there's wage is part of it? Could that be something that could change mid-contract?
No, that would be difficult. Although funny you mention the minimum wage, the effective date of these new FAR changes is based on a FAR clause, and the FAR clause basically says that the new rules are effective depending on their issue on the effective date issuance of the regulations, but FAR itself allows deviations from FAR, And funny you mentioned that the minimum wage, that was subject to a FAR deviation where OMB and the Department of Labor urged agencies to implement as soon as possible the new rules. So we try to rely on FAR, but then the government never writes the rules so tight that it can't do exactly what it has to do. And there's an exception to almost everything. And so this class deviation, making the minimum wage executive order effective as soon as possible, that's one example of it. But it's rare. And that's for executive orders. That's within the executive branch. Agencies can do it. You can't do that with a statute that Congress has passed and the president has signed.
You can't make a class deviation for those.
No, not like that. No. No, so you end up with waiting, 6 years, as the example I gave for the SBA, because it's so complex. Once Congress passes those rules applicable to small businesses, then the Small Business Administration has to adopt rules, and that took about 2 years to do that. Then the FAR Council has to pass FAR regulations implementing those SBA rules and working them out, and it just takes a long time for those statutes to become effective to the contractor, trying to carry out a contract.
And as a practical matter, if you don't like a rule, sometimes the rulemaking can be extended by a deluge of comments or some really strong comments.
It can. And actually, I've been very impressed with the extent to which, in at least the last couple of years, since I've been reading the comments and the final proposed and adopted rules, that the agencies explain why they're doing what they're doing. The SBA and the FAR Council are really listening to the comments that the marketplace is making. It's gratifying. It takes so much effort for interest groups to make comments. For example, the Professional Services Council makes terrific comments on these proposed regulations. And it's heartening that after all the time they spend making these comments to the agencies, are recognizing that they're valid comments and changing them. It's heartening that that effort is paying off on the part of people who know an awful lot about how these regulations actually have to be implemented and actually have to work out in reality.
It sounds like the White House is the one that contractors really have to worry about.
Yes. There have been just so many new executive orders in the last two or three years. It's keeping a lot of regulation writers busy.
There's been about a dozen over the past several years,
yes.
And they affect.
Yes.
And a lot of them seem to be aimed at particular industries. For example, the paid leave and so forth is aimed at construction because it's not really an issue, say, in information technology services.
That's a good point. And the problem is nobody, certainly in government contracting circles, would object to any kind of new. Who could be opposed to paid leave for the employees if the customer is willing to pay for it? But we just know that the government is going to be very stingy in wanting to increase money to contractors to pay for those. They expect contractors to take those additional costs out of their profits, and the industry reasonably doesn't want to do that.
And many of these tend to be provisions maybe that Congress wouldn't pass for the rest of industry.
Oh, that's for sure. Yes.
So what should contractors do now when there's kind of uncertainty over the outcome of the election and what could happen with some of these rules that are still in the formation stage but look like a cannonball coming at them?
I think all they can do is, first of all, if a contracting officer that is a real good customer of a contractor, if asked, the contractors should go along with modifying their contracts to adopt the new rules. That's good marketing. But other than that, all they can do, contractors can do, is keep alert to when provisions are actually implemented, for one, and also just be careful that they read the boilerplate clauses that are going to be included in any contract that they might win. Others look carefully at the solicitation boilerplate, and it's very difficult. We see a lot of people not reading the boilerplate provisions. We see them reading the statement of work and what do I have to do, but they tend to just have their eyes glaze over reasonably when they're looking at all the clauses from FAR that are going to be incorporated by reference into their new contract. You can't do that. I think you've got to be very careful about looking at all that boilerplate that's going to be incorporated by reference. And it's very difficult to do when you're trying to get a proposal in by a deadline.
Attorney Terry O'Connor is Director of Government Contracts at Barron Swag Leonard. Thanks so much for joining me.
Appreciate it, Tom.
You can read his blog and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.